Yesterday we spoke about the fascinating Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, who said that the only time one has an obligation to make a bracha of leishev basukkah is when they have an intent to eat in that sukkah. But if somebody just simply wants to go into the sukkah, talk in the sukkah, spend some time there, they would not have an obligation to make that bracha. We mentioned yesterday how many of the Rishonim disagree. The Rif and many others feel that every time you walk into the sukkah, that is something that warrants its own bracha, and that is in fact the way that the Vilna Gaon paskens. We know that in Shulchan Aruch, we have adopted the position of Rabbeinu Tam, and we only make a bracha of leishev basukkah when one is going to have intent to actually eat in that sukkah. Something that is very relevant to this discussion is what the Maharam Rutenberg talks about, and that is, what bracha should a person make first? Should you first make the birchas hanehanin that you have to make, the bori min mezonos, or the hamotzi lechem min haaretz? Or should one first make the bracha of leishev basukkah, and only after that should it be followed by the birchas hanehanin? What is that discussion all about? This is actually a dispute amongst the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Maharam Rutenberg, and the Rush, and the Rambam. Many others have what to say on this issue. And the crux of that issue really comes down to, what is the nature of the obligation of leishev basukkah? If you believe that the obligation of leishev basukkah is just to go into the sukkah and spend time there, so then one should make a leishev basukkah immediately upon coming into the sukkah, and it does not have to wait for the birchas hanenin. However, if one should believe that the only time leishev basukkah is warranted, the only time one is obligated to make a leishev basukkah is when they are planning to have food, then that would follow that the first thing you should do is make the bracha, bori min mezonos, or hamotzi lechem min haaretz. That is what obligates me in the bracha of leishev basukkah. Only after I make that birchas hanenin should I follow it by making the bracha of leishev basukkah. And in fact, the Rama writes in Siman Tav Resh Mem Gimel, which would be very consistent with the psak that the Rama writes elsewhere in Hilchos Sukkah. The Rama says that we first make the bracha on the food, the birchas hanenin, which is followed afterward by a bracha of leishev basukkah. Once again, that is consistent with what the Rama paskins based on the Rabbeinu Tam, that the only time we have an obligation to make a leishev basukkah is when we have an intent to eat in the sukkah as well. There is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, what does one do if they cannot find a seat in the sukkah? So once in a while this comes up, let's say, obviously it comes up by the Hasidish Rebbes on Yom Tov when they have many Hasidim in the sukkah and they're all in the sukkah, but they obviously do not all have a place to sit. And not only are they going to be in the sukkah, but they're also going to be eating while they stay in that sukkah. And the question is, what is a person supposed to do then? When the Pasuk says, Vasukkos teishvu shivas yamim, and we have that phrase repeated three times throughout the pasuk that gives us the obligation of sukkah, does that mean that you actually have to sit in the sukkah? Or does it mean that even if one stands, that will be sufficient? This is a discussion that the Bach raises, and the Taz has what to say about it as well in Siman Tav Resh Mem Gimel. The Bach claims that this is a dispute amongst the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rush and the Rambam. So he quotes the Rush, and the Rush says the following, Im haya ochel me'umad, what if somebody was standing in the sukkah because there simply was no place to sit? Hayetzarech levarech ala sukkah, says the Rush. Obviously, one would have to make a bracha leishev basukkah. Why? Kivan she'iker hamitzvah hi aknisa levada, afal pi she'eno yoshev, says the Rush. Your obligation to be in the sukkah is not only if you're sitting. Just because the Torah says basukas teishu shivas yamim, that does not mean specifically that you must sit. However, the Bach writes, not everybody agrees to this, and he claims that the Rambam disagrees. The Taz says, no, that's not at all what the Rambam meant, and the Prima Gadim discusses this as well. The Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion writes, Al Kain, Muchrach Leishev V'Levarach, being that this seems to be a major dispute amongst the Rishonim, and it's not clear at all how we paskin, the Mishnah Berurah says one should try their best to really sit down and eat when they are in the Sukkah, Im Lo Shahu Anus, unless you are, like we described, in a situation where there simply are no seats, Ve'enu Yachal Leishev, and you're not able to sit, so then it seems from the Mishnah Berurah that one would make a bracha in that case. Now, something that is an important question to think about as well is whether or not sleeping in the sukkah would be something that warrants a bracha as well. When the Torah says that we have an obligation to live in the sukkah, basukash teshvu shivas yamin, we have to stay in the sukkah for a duration of 7 days. So as we mentioned yesterday, the Gemara says, Teshvu ke'en taduru. Teshvu doesn't actually mean you have to sit in the sukkah, but it means you're supposed to live and dwell in the sukkah the same way that you would in your home throughout the year. Part of that obviously means we have to eat in the sukkah. We're supposed to do all the activities in the sukkah, which include sleeping in the sukkah as well, the same way we would sleep in our own homes. So the question obviously becomes, would one recite a bracha of leishev basukkah when they are only intending to sleep in the sukkah? So for example, I eat dinner at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, then I go to Maariv, I do a whole bunch of other things, and I come back 10, 11 o'clock at night, not at all connected to my eating of dinner that I already had and made a bracha of leishev basukkah. Would I now make a new bracha of leishev basukkah when I plan only to go to sleep in the sukkah? And this is a major discussion amongst the Rishonim as well. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted in the Mordechai, writes that since one is going to sleep in the sukkah, but they have already eaten in the sukkah, therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, you have already been covered with your bracha of leishev basukkah that was recited on the eating. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, there is no reason to make a new bracha when one goes back to the sukkah to sleep, because they have already fulfilled the bracha of leishev basukkah when they had their meal. Tosus writes in Maseches Brachos, another reason why one shouldn't make a bracha leishev basukkah when going to sleep, not at all similar to what he writes, what Rabbeinu Tam says in the Mordechai, but also he comes to the same conclusion that one should not recite a bracha when they go into the sukkah to go to sleep. Why? Says Tosis, because we have a concern when I go into the sukkah to eat a meal, so immediately after making my leishev basukkah, I'll take a bite of food and I'll eat it. There's nothing to be concerned about. Nothing can possibly go wrong. However, he says, when a person goes into the sukkah and their intent is to go to sleep, he says, you have to be concerned, maybe you will not be successful in falling asleep. And then it's going to turn out that it's a bracha levatala, because you went into the sukkah, your intention was to go to sleep, it turns out you weren't able to, you might have to end up going back into your house because you're certainly not going to be able to stay up the whole night, and if you're too uncomfortable, then you go back inside. Therefore, says Tosus, that you would not make a bracha of leishev basukkah before going to sleep, which gets into a whole major problem, because as we know, there is a bracha that the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that we're supposed to recite before one goes to sleep every night, and that is the bracha of Hamapil. So the question is, how can a person ever make a bracha of Hamapil? Shouldn't you be concerned that maybe you will not fall asleep? And if you won't fall asleep, it will turn out to be a bracha levatala. And if we know that we have the practice to say the bracha of Hamapil during the year, so then how could it be that here, Tosis writes, one is not allowed to make a bracha because you have to be concerned of bracha levatala? Why should we be concerned of bracha levatala here, where we would not be concerned every other night of the year when we make a Hamapil before going to sleep? That is a very important question that Tosis discusses, and the Rishonim have a lot to say about, and it touches on many other issues. One of them in particular is by Bedikas Chametz, where the Rishonim discuss the Ravid and many others. How is it that we can make a bracha before we start the Bedikas Chametz? Don't we have to be concerned that maybe it's going to be a bracha levatala? Why? Because maybe I already cleaned out the whole house, maybe I won't find any chametz, and it will turn out that my bracha that I made before performing this mitzvah was an unnecessary bracha. And that is a big discussion that the Rishonim have, which leads the Ramah to say that since we have this concern, therefore the Ramah says there were many women who had the practice to put out 10 pieces of bread just to make sure that it won't be a bracha levatala. But we know that that is only a minug, that is not the absolute halacha lemaisa. Take, for example, somebody who doesn't have 10 pieces of bread for whatever reason, you're stuck somewhere and you can't find any bread to put out, you would still do the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, you would still make a bracha on bedikas chametz. So how could it be that you make a bracha when you know that you may not find anything? And even more so, we find in Shulchan Aruch by bedikas chametz, let's say a person forgot to do a bedika, or they had some kind of extenuating circumstance that didn't enable them to do a bedika. So would they do a bedika on Pesach? Yes, the Shulchan Aruch says you still have an obligation to do bedika the earliest time that you remember. And therefore we assume even on Pesach itself you're going to go and do a bedika, says the Shulchan Aruch, and you're going to recite a bracha when you do the bedika in your home. Now says the Vilna Gaon, obviously you're not going to put out any pieces of bread on Pesach, that would be an Isser Bayura Bayimatze. So what would a person do when they make that bracha on Pesach itself, searching at the home for chametz, when it could well be that they will not find any chametz? Won't that be a position of bracha levatala, and shouldn't we be concerned? So anyway, that has to do with this. Once again, When one goes to sleep in the sukkah, they do not make a bracha of leshe basukkah. Number one, Tosus writes, the reason is because Shema lo yirade, maybe you won't fall asleep, and maybe it will turn out to be a bracha levatela. Reason number two, Tosus says, is because you were already covered with the bracha that you made on the food that you ate before, and therefore there's no reason to make a new bracha. Says the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and again, this is disagreeing with the psak that the Mishnah Berurah has, but Rav Shlomo Zalman says, what about a person who goes to sleep in the way we described it before? Somebody who goes to sleep way after they ate the meal, and it's not connected at all to the meal that you ate. You ate dinner at 7 o'clock, then you went out and did a whole bunch of other things. Now you come back 10, 11 o'clock at night, you plan to go to sleep. Would you make a new bracha, says Rav Shlomo Zalman? Absolutely you would make a new bracha. Why? Because he says this is one of the main purposes of a sukkah, is to sit in it. The same way that a major part of living in a home is eating in that house, so too, he says, a major part of living in a home is where you sleep at night. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if a person goes into a sukkah to sleep, and they did not have a meal prior to that, that was connected to it, and they did not make a leshe basukkah, obviously, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, you would go inside and you would make a bracha, and we would not tell a person to hold back on that bracha, which is a chiddush, and once again, it's against the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. But it's a very important position that Rav Shlomo Zalman puts forth with regard to somebody who plans to sleep in the sukkah. I asked my father about it, and he said, the minhag ha'olam is certainly not to do so. But that is a very important position of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Another question that is raised, the Mishnah Berurah talks about, would a person make a leshe basukkah? Let's say, sukkis, somebody wants to go visit their friend. So you finished your meal, you have no intention at all to eat anymore, you're on a diet, so even if you go to your friend's house and they're serving dessert, you're not going to make a mezonos, you're not going to eat anything, and now you come visit them in their sukkah. Would you make a leshe basukkah when you have absolutely no intent at all to make any brachos in that sukkah, to eat any food or to drink anything when you go visit that friend? So the simple minug obviously is that one would not recite a bracha there. Why? As we said, the Shulchan Aruch adopts the position of Rabbeinu Tam, that the only time you make a leshe basukkah is when you have intent to go in and to eat something in that sukkah. However, if you don't plan to eat anything, you would not make a bracha. That certainly is the minhag. What I find fascinating is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach adds an additional chiddush here, which I found very surprising. Writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, the only time I would make a bracha of leshe basukkah is when I enter into the sukkah, because I have in mind that I want to do something in that sukkah. However, here, in this case, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, the only reason I'm going into the sukkah is because that's where my friend happens to be. However, he writes, what if my friend, if I would get to his house and he turns out that he's already back inside the house, he's in his living room, he's not comfortable in the sukkah? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, I would be just as happy visiting him in his home as I am visiting him in his sukkah. And therefore he says, because the primary reason why I'm here right now is not because of the sukkah, but rather because I want to visit my friend, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, a tremendous chiddush, that would be an additional reason not to make a bracha of leshe basukkah, because after all, I had no real specific intent to go into the sukkah itself. All I wanted to do was go visit my friend, and if he happened to be in the house, I would have visited him there as well. That is the chiddush of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. What if a person forgets to make a leshe basukkah? So, if you forget to make a leshe basukkah at the beginning of your meal, and now you're still eating, obviously you stop the meal in the middle, everybody takes a break for a minute, you make a bracha of leshe basukkah, and you continue on, it would not be a problem at all. What if somebody already finished Birchas HaMazon? So here, the Mishnah Berurah writes, quoting the Magen Avraham, that you would still be allowed to make a leshe basukkah. Why? Because he writes, you had a kviyas in the sukkah, you sat down, you ate, you were there for a while, you all had the opportunity to spend time in the sukkah, you were mekayim, what Rabbeinu Tam says, that the only time you make a leshe basukkah is when you eat there. Therefore, writes the Mishnah Berurah, b'di'eved, you would be able to make that bracha even after the meal is over, even after you already made a birchas hamazon. Rabbi Avadi Yosef disputes this psak in the Mishnah Berurah, and he thinks that one should not make a bracha. Obviously, Rabbi Avadi Yosef says, if somebody's able to go ahead now and make another mezonos on some dessert that is still available to them in the sukkah, then, according to all opinions, he would still be able to make a leshe basukkah. But otherwise, Rabbi Avadi Yosef feels that the Sfardim should follow his psak, and they should not make a leshe basukkah once the meal has already been completed. One more fascinating issue is the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi introduces us to a bracha that we are completely unfamiliar with. The Yerushalmi writes in Maseches Brachos, the second parak, that after one completes an entire mitzvah that they have done, a bracha should be recited. Writes the Yerushalmi, where do we find that? So the Yerushalmi says, after they used to take their tefillin off in the morning, after they wore it during Shacharis, they used to say a bracha, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lishmar chukav. They used to make a bracha that one, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the opportunity, lishmar chukav, to keep his chukim, to keep his commandments, and to do his mitzvos. That is the bracha that used to be said when they used to take off their tefillin. And in fact, the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Maseches Nida writes this as well, that when Bnei Ma'arava, when the people who came from Eretz Yisrael would take off their tefillin, they would make a bracha, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lishmar chukav. That is the psak of the Bnei Ma'arava. That is the way the Bnei Eretz Yisrael used to have the custom. That's what they used to do every day. So the Ramban says, the same would be, after a person finishes other mitzvahs, they should also make a bracha once they have completed the mitzvah. And the Rishonim say, perhaps, when one finishes the mitzvah of Sukkah at the end of Yom Tif, they should also make a bracha, the Ravya writes, of Lishmar Mitzvahs HaSukkah. Now, obviously, we don't have that practice. This is not at all what the Minhag Yisrael is, but it's a fascinating idea to be aware of, that there is such a concept of making a bracha after a mitzvah is completed, and we don't only have to make a bracha before the mitzvah has started, which is why, when I started to wear my tefillin by my bar mitzvah, my father always told me that we should make sure not to take our tefillin off until after Uval Etzion. Why? Because in Uval Etzion we say, Yiratzon Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh, and that's sort of a similar nusach to what the Yerushalmi says, that they would make a bracha Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvos HaVetzivanu Lishmar Chukav. So even though we don't actually make that bracha today, we should try to do something that is reminiscent of what that old bracha that the Yerushalmi describes was, and therefore one should try not to take their tefillin off in the morning until after they say that sentence in Uval Etzion, Shenishmar Chukecha Ba'olam Hazeh.